Well, good evening. It's good to be back together again tonight. I pray you feel the same way. Tonight, this was read moments ago, we're going to be in John 11, where Jesus makes the statement that I'm the resurrection and the life. And if you'll look what was read moments ago, I want to read it together, and we'll take it from there. Beginning in verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? What a profound statement. Have you ever slowed down right here and just listened to the words of Jesus? What led him to say these words? And we're going to slow it down in just a moment. Well, the situation that we're familiar with, maybe we are, and if you're not, it would do you good to go back and read it. Lazarus, Mary and Martha, people Jesus loved deeply. He says at the first of the chapter. Lazarus became sick. And Jesus tells, when he finds out that Lazarus is sick, listen to what Jesus, back in verse 4, says to those disciples. But when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. This sickness is not going to end in death. Well, we all know Lazarus dies. What in the world is Jesus telling these people, these disciples, it's not going to end in death? And then he goes on as he begins to explain it. This whole thing is about glorifying God and Jesus Himself. When we talk about glorifying, it's something that someone that you illumine. When you glorify, that becomes our focus and our attention on everything. And so Jesus decides to stay two more days after he hears Lazarus is sick. Look down at verse 14. So Jesus then said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sake that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. I'm glad. I'm glad for your sake that he died. And I'm glad for your sake that we weren't there. 14, Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, so you may believe. Let us go to him. What is Jesus doing with this situation? I'm trying to create faith. Faith in those disciples. Faith in that they can trust it. Who he is, that God is glorified. And so he continues on in verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Lazarus has been in a tomb for 4 days now. He's got it all under control. He's wanting God glorified. He's wanting glory to be emphasized there. He's wanting faith to be built in his disciples. And now he comes to the town. And Lazarus had been dead. Look down at verse 20. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went out to meet him. But Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She knew Jesus could heal. Jesus has healed many a sick person. But in her state of mind, she knew if Jesus would have shown up when he first got news that you could have healed my brother, he wouldn't have died. She knew that. But if you look at verse 22, even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. She knows Jesus can ask of God and God will do it. Now, she doesn't know what she wants. She knows one thing. My brother's dead. And you could have prevented it. And I know God will do whatever needs to be done, but she's not thinking of resurrection. She's thinking, my brother is dead. Jesus is about to teach a great lesson to the rest. And so, verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. A simple statement. Verse 24. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Now, she believes in what? The resurrection. Some little side note, I need you to understand this. You know, we read that, we don't realize the message that's within that. You know, within the Jewish nation, there were two groups that were prominent. There were the Pharisees, who were the instructors and the teachers, and there was another group of instructors and teachers called the Sadducees. And the amazing part within the same nation, you know, within this people of God, you've got these two different leaders trying to lead. In Acts chapter 23, the Sadducees did not believe in spirits nor angels. And they didn't believe in the resurrection. That was their teachings. That's what they promoted. And so you've got some people listening to the Sadducees. You've got some people listening to the Pharisees. They're all coming out of the same book of law of the old, you know, of Old Testament. You know, Martha makes it very clear. Martha makes it very clear that she believes in the resurrection on the last day. But in the meantime, Martha's concerned about if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died back there. Now Martha has jumped forward and she believes in the resurrection. He's going to raise again. She's in the past. She's in the future. And notice what Jesus does to her. Verse 25. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Stop right there. Jesus is trying to bring Martha where? To the present. We're not living in the past and we're not going to live in the future. We're going to live in the now. I am. Now. I'm not going to be. I'm not I was. I am right now as I'm standing and talking face to face with Martha. As the disciples have come with him and they're listening to all of this, Jesus said, right now, I exist as the resurrection and the life. And for anyone that will put their faith in me lives even if they die. But I want to take it one step further. I want to show you how great I am that is, that exists. Verse 26. And everyone who lives now and believes now and continues, that's a believing of continuation, will never die. Wait a second. Yeah, your brother has died. And I'm the resurrection. And he lives. Your brother has passed on. And Martha, you're alive. And your sister Mary's alive. And the disciples that are with me that are alive. And I'm not only the resurrection for those who have passed away. I am also the life of everyone that is alive right now. I am the life. I am the resurrection. And the more you get thinking about it, this is profound. And I think a lot of times we miss it. Because we're not understanding of who Jesus is. And he ends with a statement there at the end of verse 26. Do you believe it? Do you believe it, Martha? Do you believe it, church? Look at her statement, verse 27. She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even He who comes into the world." You know what she says to Jesus? "I have believed." Now that looks like that's a past tense. It's a perfect tense. "I have believed." What that means is that there was an action back here. She believed sometime in her past, and she continues to believe in the present. And now she has made acknowledgement who Jesus is. "I believe you are the Christ. You're the Messiah. And He came into this world. But I'm more than just that. I'm the resurrection and the life now." And here's where I want to take this. Why do we, church, live on such low levels? The way we react to situations, we act just like the world. Many times we do. We're faced with a situation and we panic. We find ourselves staring at a difficulty, and it takes us down. Now, I'm not saying you're going to face things with a smile. And I'm not going to say that we're super people. We're not super people. None of us are. But if you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life now, why do so many things take us to such a low level? Do you believe this? That's the question. Well, knowing that, come over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And I want to expand on this idea of Jesus as the resurrection and the life now. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 4, Paul begins to explain to the church, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ." By the great mercy, the love of God, He says, we were dead. Even though we live on this earth, even though you and I operate within a world and in a nation that we live in, you know what your transgressions did? They killed you. You were existing as a human being. But you were not existing as a child of God, as Jesus being your resurrection in life. And so He reminds us that when we were dead in our transgressions, God made us alive together with Christ. God made us alive. With who? With Jesus. Who is He? He's the resurrection and the life. And then He goes on to say, verse 6, "and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ." That's now. You know where every one of us are if you're in Jesus? If you've been baptized into Christ, you are seated with Christ right now. Well, it doesn't look that way. That's because we don't believe it. We don't believe Jesus is a resurrection and a life, so we're living in our lives today on this low, puny level, a level that when we were dead in our transgressions, we don't understand what God did for us. He made us alive together with Christ. And you know, we know Romans 6:4, what Romans 6:4 tells us. Therefore, we've been buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we might live in newness of life. We know what that says, but we don't believe it. We don't believe at times. We have this newness. We've been seated with Jesus. Right now, we are alive because Jesus is the resurrection and He's the life. See, we don't see what's happened to us. And so, certain things are preventing us from grasping the greater thing. And what are those things? Come over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Paul, he saw the reality of Jesus is the resurrection of life right now. And I want you to see what it did for him. And this is where our failures come many times. You know, Paul knew that death doesn't end anything. That we can live even if we die. In fact, death is the gate to the reality. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, Paul says, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ, whatever is gain for me, whatever I've accomplished in my life," and if you go back and read the first six verses, you see a lot of the accomplishments that Paul had as a man. And he looks at his life and as he sees things and he sees his personal accomplishments, he said, "Whatever I have gained personally in this life, whatever inroads that I have made in this life, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ." You know, you look at that word counted, major word. The word literally means to lead before the mind. You know what's leading Paul's mind? The things of Christ. He's not looking at the things that he has gained in this world, the accomplishments that he's done, the places that he's been. He said, "You know what? For the sake of Christ, I count all of it as loss." Personal gains, personal accomplishments, I want you to know are getting you nowhere with God. Now, I'm not standing before you to tell you, you know, just to be a slob and nothing means nothing, you know, anything in your life. But I'm telling you what, we put too much on our accomplishments. We look at the positions that we've gotten to in life through hard work. And I'm grateful that we have people who have done that. But all of a sudden, we start turning to our accomplishments. And you know what you miss? Life. Life as far as God goes. In fact, He says, "For the sake of Christ. I am the resurrection and the life, and my values aren't anywhere else." Verse 8. More than that, I like the way that verse starts. More than what he's counted as loss. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. I don't know if you see it, but I can see Paul, and he's looking at Jesus, and he's looking at God making you alive together and seating you with Christ. And he can look at all of that and he says, "You know what? in view of this surpassing thing of Jesus, in view of everything, of the value of knowing Christ, everything in my life is loss. I'm not going to glory in me. I'm not going to glory in my accomplishments. I'm not going to glory that I have a doctorate's degree, or I have a PhD, or I have this, or I have... That doesn't mean anything. He said, what means everything, in view of Christ, I gain it all. And I throw all of that away in life. You can have the greatest job on the face of the earth. You can be the biggest farmer in the whole part of Missouri. You might be a state representative. You might be a governor. You might be somebody in the world's eyes. But Paul said, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I want to know Jesus. I want to know what this resurrection and life is about now. I want to know Jesus. Now, church, let me ask us tonight. How many of us in here have the attitude that these things that we've accomplished mean nothing? The project you're accomplishing, the life you're accomplishing, those are not bringing you life. Those are self-glory, self-satisfaction things. And all of a sudden you work your whole life and you come face to face with death. And what are your accomplishments worth then? They erect memorials. They erect buildings to people who died. And those people who died have never seen one of them, because they're dead. But what would be the value of knowing Jesus? And Paul said, I've suffered loss of all things. I count them but rubbish. Why? So I can gain Christ. How many of us want to gain Christ? Do we really want Him? Do we want Him now? Do we want the resurrection of Jesus now? That I'm alive in Him and I'm not dead and I can overcome things. I mean, what if I gain all of these accomplishments and I lose my soul? What's the value? What if I gain all of these life accomplishments and get sick? What's the value? What if I gain Christ and I never die? What's that value? Oh, there's a great value. To live? Even if you die? To live and never see death? You and I have seen death. When you were dead in your transgressions, you saw death. You saw what sin could do to you. You saw how to live on such a low standard and such a low level. We've all been there. We've all seen that. But how many of us have lived and seen life, the life of Christ, now? The resurrected Christ, now. And Paul says, I want to gain Christ. That means more. Look at verse 9 right quick. And may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. And I may be found in Him. I want to be found in Jesus. How? He says, not having a righteousness that is derived from the law. having a righteousness of my own. And yet, brethren, how many times have we heard people, that person's a good person, that person's a benevolent person, and we think that their accomplishments in life are because of those things. And Paul said, you know what I want to make sure of? I'm not found. No, I'm not found with any righteousness in myself. No, sir. I'm not going to be a worker and have everybody sit there and say, hey, they're a worker for the Lord. They got to be godly. Paul says, I want to be found in Jesus on the basis of faith, that my righteousness, my right standing before God comes from Jesus to me. Oh. That's why he could count all things as loss. Church, I wished I could get us to realize that none of us are going to be saved by our goodness. We believe they are. Many times, I'm afraid. As you look at people who pass on, and oh, they were such a good person. I want my righteousness, Paul said, to come through Jesus. That comes from God on the basis of my faith in Jesus Christ. That's how I want to be found. And he says in verse 10, so that I may know Him. And look at here. And the power of His resurrection. Now. And to share in the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. Now. Before we close out, let me ask you something. How did Jesus stand before hateful people? People that accused Him falsely, they lied about Him. How did He stand? Because He's the life. He's the resurrection. How in the world did Jesus stand in the midst of His suffering when His heart was breaking? How did He get through that without collapsing and having all this mental stuff going on and, oh, I gotta have something to fix me? How did He do it? Because I'm the resurrection now. I'm the life now. That's how He did it. And, you know, how did He overcome? Well, I'll tell you, all of those things here, Paul said, I count it as rubbish. I count it as loss. I want to gain Christ. I want to know the power of His resurrection so I can live my life now. I want to fellowship in His sufferings so I can have life like He had. I want to be conformed to His death so I can live now. Boys say, I don't understand how all of that works, but I know one thing. Your personal accomplishments won't get it. And maybe you and I need to rethink about what we're living for. Are we living for the mansion here? Are we living for the resurrected Christ? What is our desires? What do we want? What are you living for? Anything that takes you away from Christ and gaining Christ will corrupt you. And so when Jesus says, or when Paul says here in verse 11 as he ends up, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, now. Now. Oh, He has it. And I'm afraid sometimes in my life I haven't had it. And the reason we're so weak is because we don't count things as loss. We glory in our things, in our accomplishments. We live for things and you never attain to the resurrection from the dead and the resurrection of life. Oh, our efforts need to be put in Jesus. We need to come to know this Jesus that we worship and adore. We need to gain Christ. And you can't have it both ways. One is death. Jesus Christ is the I Am resurrection and life. And you can live now to eternity. I encourage you that tonight. Take a look at it. Think about where you put your efforts. Oh, we need Jesus. We need Him more than ever.